Chicago, I am coming April 15th to Credit Union One Arena. The pre-sale starts this Wednesday at 10 a.m. local time. Use the code word Tommy, T-O-M-M-Y. Go to TomSegura.com/tour. Look at the tour dates. Click on the Chicago date. Use that promo code Tommy to get pre-sale access. If not, you're waiting till Friday for the general on sale when it's open to everybody in the public. I can't wait to see you in Chicago.
Then I found a game called Magic the Gathering.
Magic cards. Yeah. And are you into magic?
I played the game. I have like 30 built decks.
Do you go to the Magic Castle?
No. So Magic Castle.
No.
Are you fucking? You're fucking with me.
No.
You're fucking with me.
No, it's magic.
Magic.
Watch.
Fucking guy. Did you see what just happened there?
100%. Cheers.
I'm so used to staring at a bloated pretend carcass athlete, and finally, I get to look at a real one. Yo. What's up? Cassius Marsh in the house. How you doing, man?
Good, brother.
Thanks for coming, man.
No, thanks for having me, bro. I'm stoked.
Should have been an easy commute because I picked this place because it was close to your house. which was my house.
Yes.
Thank you for buying my house.
Thank you for selling me your house, sir.
No problem, bro.
It's amazing. We love
it. Dude, I love that house.
Yeah.
It's a good family home, man.
Absolutely. Super private.
Yeah. You know,
just nice, dude. And
I put those fucking bushes in the front.
You did that?
Yeah, man. They used to be all just like open.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, no. We planted those. Yes. I blacked out those gates.
Yes. That was like, big time.
The whole message I like to put out in a home is nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep fucking walking.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so 100%. That's what you got. You got the privacy bunker.
I have no idea what my neighbors do.
Yeah.
No idea.
I can tell you something. Have you seen the guy across the street get the mail?
Yeah.
Shirtless?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been there for a long time. He's been there for a long time. He's a trippy kind of guy.
SC fan, just so you know.
Yeah, you know, you got to watch out for those.
You certainly do.
100%.
I'm like, you know, you could put a shirt on just for the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not the type. You should probably.
You see me, right? I wear a shirt. Why don't you wear a fucking shirt, man?
Yeah. I can't say anything to him, though, because I rarely have a shirt on. So.
But like I said, you know, if I looked like you, I fucking would never wear a shirt. Yeah, so, well, you know,
there's that.
Or you or Bert. If I looked like either of you, I'd never wear a shirt.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to own it sometimes. You know?
Then
like, look at that.
That's look beautiful. At that. It's, yeah, man.
It's regal, you know?
Do you realize that you're going to inflate his fucking ego so much?
I mean, I've never seen a more beautiful, like, fat belly, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got the freckles, he's got the big old belly hair, it's just like, you know.
And it's fucking, it's this hard.
Oh, it's tough.
It's not a soft belly.
Oh, that's a beer belly.
Yeah. It's called visceral fat.
That's the official term.
That's medical term. It's attached to your organs. It's not going anywhere. Doesn't matter.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You can dye it. It stays there.
It's there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's rock hard, man.
Yeah,
it is rock hard. Yeah. I'll tell you this: to your, if you walk out of your front door to your left,
okay,
is a basketball coach. He's a retired basketball coach, but he still does like
private sessions and stuff like that.
Yep. To your right is an attorney, but he's like semi-retired.
Okay.
And his kid one time they were on an episode of like Dateline.
Okay.
Because the kid watched a previous episode about like a wrongful lawsuit thing.
Okay.
And then told his dad like, "Don't you think that you should get involved in this?" And his dad was like, "I guess so," and got involved and won the case. So they did like a follow-up episode.
Wow.
Yeah, that's your neighbor to the right.
So some pretty significant people besides, you know.
And then I got some other people I'll tell you about off mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in the neighborhood too.
Oh, great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, man. So you're playing right now for one of the fucking most prestigious franchises in all of sports, man.
Absolutely.
Does that sit with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like being in the NFL, I imagine is an amazing accomplishment, period.
Yeah.
But like when you get to Pittsburgh, I mean, that's one of the, creme de la creme, right?
Yeah. You know, I've been super, super lucky with teams in general. I feel, you know, obviously got drafted to Seattle, which is a great franchise, you know, they take great care of the players and stuff. And then I got to play for San Francisco, which was
another like legacy type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge, significant. I played for the Patriots, you know, not my favorite time.
No. But wait, like when you play for the Patriots though, that's of the current, like in the current era.
Yeah.
There's no more dominant franchise, no, right?
Absolutely not.
And the whole thing is, I mean, everybody who follows football, you hear about the Patriot way.
Yeah.
And I mean, all you saw was basically them either in or winning a Super Bowl.
The Patriot way is pretty, it's extremely impressive. Like they work day in and day out. Like their work ethic over there, what they, you know, instill is pretty legendary, you know, but they also treat players like crap. You know, you don't have a lunch period.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so they're just like, just eat on your own?
Yeah, like you get there and you have to make time to eat in between meetings. And they're like 5 to 10 minute periods where I would literally go scoop food and put it in a cup and like just crush it real quick before I got to the next meeting.
Whoa.
It's just like there's there's no fun. There's no...
Really?
Well, that's what I got in trouble for saying, that they don't have fun. There's no like... Because Patriots fans hate me, by the way.
Really?
Like, yeah, absolutely. If you probably one of the most hated like former Patriots.
Really?
Up there, top five at least.
Top five most hated.
100%.
And did you say no fun after you left or while you were there?
It was after I left.
Okay.
Well, because here's the thing: like over there, nobody says anything publicly because they've won so many championships.
Sure.
So you don't want to upset the fan base, and like, because after you win a Super Bowl, you know, you can get paid for signings in New England for the rest of your life.
Sure.
You know, because you're a Super Bowl champ, you know. So it was funny, like when I did that article, a lot of the players like thanked me for like making it public on how bad they treat guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, they win games, so you just really can't argue with, you know, championships.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see your point. One of the things that I think stood out, what, like, you know, being a fan of just the football in general, I'm not like a diehard New England guy, but you know, you follow, is you saw how disposable people were in New England. Cause, and I mean, I would say that you could definitely make an argument that, hey, that's what a super successful business or something, that they go like this and get the fuck out of here. They just cut, you know, but it's interesting because I mean, I might have the details of this wrong, but I feel like I remember Moss had that ridiculous season.
Yeah.
And the next year, I thought it was the next season, he made just like a comment post game about his current contract.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, the next week he was gone. Like they were just like, bye.
Yeah, they don't play. They don't play games there, man.
Yeah,
they really don't. Bill runs everything. Like they don't have a GM. They don't have anything. So if you piss off Bill, like
that's it.
You're done.
What are those like team meetings like? Is it like scary?
Dude, okay. So imagine like imagine you're working like a 9 to 5, right? Uh-huh. And like, it's like a team meeting, right? So like, it's like almost like in a school assembly, okay? And the dude who walks in is like the CEO, and he's like an old dude who, you know, like just plays no game. So like when he walks in, it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
Like everything stops. All phones get put away, all laughter, any type of little chit chat, done, okay?
So when he enters the room, it's over.
Over. Nobody plays around with Bill. I mean, nobody plays with Bill for the most part. So he walks in there and then he comes up to like a podium and he addresses the team for like 45 minutes to an hour every morning. He talks about the GM's history, talks about the team's history, talks about offensive coordinator's history, the way that they used to run their defense, the way that they run their defense now, the history of all of the coaches.
And always with his same charisma and flair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Super, super exciting to listen to him talk. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Those are the best, like, if as a fan, like, you know, if you want a definite laugh, it's always like just cut to a Belichick press conference because he'll be like,
you know what, though? He is the same guy every day.
Consistent.
And so I can respect that.
Sure.
I respect Bill Belichick a lot. Like, he's an extremely intelligent coach. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just really, really didn't like how
they enjoy your time there.
Yeah. And I also came from Seattle, which is like fun, family, you know,
Pete Carroll.
Yeah. We shoot hoops before every meeting, and it's a competition every day. You know, we're riding scooters from meeting to meeting. Like,
fun.
Yeah.
It's super like what was fun, missing
family,
for you.
College vibes. And then I went there and it was like.
Well, they might have the most polar opposite personalities, right?
Cause, 100%.
I mean, like I said, from a living room, you see Pete Carroll, you're like, well, this guy seems like he's having a great time.
Yeah. No, Pete is like a big ass kid.
Yeah.
Legitimately, he runs around on the field every day. He throws the ball every day. He gets like treatment, he gets his arm and stuff worked on, like he's still playing or something. Like he's out there, like, you know, he's
and he's
big
enthusiastic.
Energy.
Yeah. But
he rides those scooters.
Really?
From meeting to meeting. Like he's a big, big kid.
Those seem really scary to me. I wouldn't jump on one.
Yeah. It's just the regular like push.
Oh, okay, though. Okay.
Not like a moped. No, because it's just in the house in the building. Yeah. We're riding like little like Razor scooters.
You guys I mean, because that was Paul Allen's team, right? Like,
before
he passed.
Rest in peace, yeah.
But I just imagine that, like, if the team is owned by, like, one of the fucking five richest people on earth, that, like, all the little detail, like, is it everything, like, really nice?
It's pretty great there, yeah. So, like, the facility's, like, right on the water, right on Lake Washington, which is just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of, like, windows and stuff. On the inside of the facility is the indoor. Mm-hmm. It's the weight room's top notch. All of the water that's hooked up is like Kangen water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dialed over there. They for sure, they put a lot of money into a lot of different things.
What was culture like? Because so New England, I would say, you know, the last 15 years or 20 years has been so dominant.
Very dominant.
When I was a kid, I'm older than you. By far the organization that was the most like holy shit was San Francisco. That was the dominant I mean they have five, and I think four of them were in like a 10-year period or something.
Yeah, 100%.
It's pretty impressive. Like, how was that culture in San Francisco?
San Fran was great, dude.
It was?
Yeah, I loved San Fran. Like, they take amazing care of the players. Coach Anand was cool, like the guys on the coaching staff, like everybody. Yeah, it was like, it's really good vibe. A lot more like Seattle, but like a younger, much younger coach. And so, like, the, you know, wasn't as much like hoorah. Pete's a big, you know, hoorah guy.
Hoorah, yeah, all the way.
100%. Yeah.
But now you're with like a crazy, like iconic franchise, man.
Big time. Yeah. I'm actually super excited this season, because last season none of the fans were there.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know.
Was that strange?
It was so weird, bro. Because you can hear shit talk on the sidelines.
That's what do you know how much I would pay? Do you know how much I would pay to hear it?
It was really funny, bro.
Really?
It is really funny shit, bro, because you gotta like imagine, bro, like I'm on the sideline, and if you yell out to the field, they're hearing you, bro.
Yeah.
So like when the wide receiver and like DB, like you could already talk shit to them, but like I can talk shit to everybody on the field.
Hey, 22.
Exactly. So, and then on, like, you hear everything, bro. So like the huddle, like the QBs are like trying to whisper more because you can hear the plays.
Sure.
It's just like, it was a totally different dynamic. It was like playing. It's like if you went to, you were in high school and you guys were playing like a really, really shitty team that had no fans.
Dude, we played a deaf school every year. And so, yeah.
I'm going to try my hardest not to laugh really hard right now.
Well, you know,
that's like,
So I said this to somebody and they're like, well, that doesn't mean they can't play football. And I go, yeah, that's true. It's not, they're not blind.
No.
Because that would be ridiculous.
Yes.
But so they would, their snap count was a drum. So on the sidelines, somebody would hit a drum, and that because that the vibration
is more. So that was what they can pick up.
Yeah, that would be what they
pick
up.
So you were just getting off the rock, like you're.
Yeah, we were just like, you know, and you know, really look at that ball.
Yeah,
because you don't know how many drum beats you're gonna hit.
Exactly.
But we fucked them up, you know. We fucked them up. We fucked those deaf kids up.
Yo, that's crazy. Actually. That's great.
Yeah. We also played a reform school in Orlando. So
like
had to be kicked out of a school
to go to this
school.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember we went to play the school, and I saw these kids, and we're like, this kid's like 22, because they were all bad kids.
Yeah, bad as shit. Yeah.
So the thing is, when you looked at them, you're like, these guys are gonna fuck us up.
Yeah.
But we beat them every year.
No discipline.
Exactly. Because they had. you didn't know who's they didn't know who's gonna be at practice on Wednesday.
100%.
You know what I mean? So you on paper, you'd look at them, you'd be like, these guys are gonna wreck us.
Yeah.
But it was they were too disorganized, you know. But
that
yeah,
makes sense. That
those are the
sense.
Two notable things I remember.
So, about. High school rejects, deaf kids.
Fuck both of
just
them up,
beating the fuck out of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. That's sick. Yeah, that's good
stuff.
Yeah,
that's pretty
right
good
there.
Stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
That'll be part of my memoir.
Yeah.
Now, growing up, like your dad played in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that, because you're taking a, like, you're following the path, do you feel, is there added pressure? Like, I have to be good? Because every kid, you always knew if someone's dad played. Like, I remember even in, when I was in sixth grade, a teammate, his dad played for the Lions.
Okay.
And I just, you just go like, what? Yeah, your dad like, played in the NFL?
So cool, right?
Yeah, and you're a fucking peewee football. Like, yeah. So everybody knows. At the time, right? You're a kid. Yeah. Now you are in California, so I guess there's just more. Like
there's, lot,
there's,
yeah,
more,
there's a lot.
There's more. There's talent everywhere. But do you feel pressure as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not. My older brother was really good too, and he got drafted as well,
which is insane.
And I honestly, so I was like a fat kid growing up. Like
really?
Super. Yeah. And more like chubby when I was real young. And so I always had to play up, and I was a big kid, and plus I was chubby. So I always had to play, like, if I was 11, I had to play with like the 13-year-olds.
Really?
You know, so I was always a little bit behind. Mm-hmm. And it just, I never was, I had my first season of football, I was really good. Like, I was like 8. And I was playing soccer, and I was, like, in good shape and stuff like that. And then I was pretty crappy until...
Really?
Yeah.
I bet that inspires somebody out there for sure.
I mean, it might. But, yeah, I was not, like, a starter. I wasn't, like, a big-time player.
Really?
Pop Warner or anything like that. But then my freshman year of high school, like, I had grown a ton, and... I just went nuts my freshman year. Actually, it was against the school that I ended up transferring to. So I went to St. Bonaventure my freshman year, which is in Ventura.
Which is a big, well-known.
It was a pretty good private school. They had won like state the year before.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and I was playing middle linebacker. And like that's what I wanted to do. I was playing middle linebacker, and we were playing this team. We were playing Oaks Christian, and they had this running back named Malcolm Jones. Mm-hmm. He actually ended up being the Gatorade National Player of the Year.
Wow.
My senior year. He was my class. But he was on that team, and he was running for like 300-400 yards on everybody. So what they did is they put in a bear front. They took me and put me over the nose guard. Bro, I had like 5 sacks, like 6 TFLs, bunch of, you know, just
and
went
are
crazy.
Are you a freshman at this time?
I was a freshman. This is all on freshman. So I'm not like on varsity. It's nothing like crazy impressive. But I kind of found my calling when they put me at D line, because I was just crushing. Got off the line and was, you know, that was pretty much it. And
that's the best, man.
I was a D lineman from that point on.
Oh, we have something to show you, I think. Let me see. Just want to get your take on this. I think it's pretty good.
Oh,
there's me, buddy. Wait.
Oh my God, look at you.
Yo, that was beastie,
come
though.
Come on, man.
Yo.
And I raised the roof.
Hey.
And I looked for a black guy to hug. It was great.
Yo, number 69. Number 69.
You know why? Here's why, though. Everyone, like, I make jokes about it. It was our biggest jersey. They were just like the year before, it was his name was Lucian,
okay,
and he was even fatter.
Yeah.
And he wore 69. And they were like, "You're pretty fat. This is for you." So that's
so you didn't even have a choice.
No, there was no choice.
That like, was yours.
There's not much that fits. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good though.
That was nice. And you got there fast too. It wasn't like
thank you.
That wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, and you know who was at that game? Like I remember being in the stands. Who I looked at when I turned that way was Cecil Fielder, the baseball player.
Oh, okay.
So his son was Prince, who was a
Prince
big,
Fielder. Yeah,
huge, Prince Fielder was
big,
at my
really,
school.
Oh, okay. And he was on the team.
No,
or they
we
were
tried
just
to get we tried to get Prince to play football.
Nah,
dude,
baseball
Prince Fielder
do that.
This fucking guy, when he was in 7th grade,
wow, yeah,
was at my school.
Yeah.
Because it was a small school. It was a 7 through 12, like private school.
Okay.
Prince was a 7th grader.
Yeah.
And he was 5'9", 245. And we were like, what the fuck, man?
So big, bro.
It's so big. And he, so we, you know, and also he's Cecil Fielder's kid.
Yeah.
So everybody's so. Like, and Cecil Fielder would pull up every day in like
a Dodge Viper or a Lamborghini Countach. We were like, what the fuck?
I know
fuck?
You love that.
Oh, I loved it. And and then he went broke. But then, but Prince, we see him and we're like, dude, we got to get this kid on the football team, right?
Yeah.
So we go up to him. We're like, and I'm like a junior. I'm like, you need to be on the football team to a seventh grader. And he's like, nah, I don't want to play football. And we're like, what? Yeah. Then we see him take batting practice in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And just fucking
yard.
Dude, we're like, oh my God. Then we watched him play basketball. And he's a pudgy seventh grade kid.
Yeah.
Dude, like spin moves, double, like pump, like just running
up.
Like, they're like just like a pudgy kid, but like super athletic. But I remember that after that sack, I look and I make eye contact with Cecil because it's a small.
If you didn't know.
Like, yeah, motherfucker, you know me now.
I'm the man?
Yeah.
69, bro.
69, bitch. And then there was a flag because I actually got some face mask on that, in that sack.
Whatever. Yeah, that's the refs. It's refs still, are haters.
That's haters.
Can we
man.
Just talk about how garbage refs are?
Yes.
Can we talk about that? Because I hate refs with a deep, deep passion.
Do you do any? Because sometimes they show the guy, you know, you guys in the league. Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Like, do you socialize?
I do. Some of them are pretty chill, but there's ones, you know, and you got to like kind of schmooze them. You know what I mean?
Kind of like so
you
cops, can, man.
100%. They're just like cops. Like you have to respect them and show them like some respect. But behind
there's
that, all, behind all that respect is a deep, deep hate.
Yeah. And also like you can tell, like just like with a cop, you can tell who's like, this guy's doing his job.
Yeah.
Like you broke the law or, you know what I mean? Like you're disrespected. And then there's the ones like refs who you could tell are on a power trip and who are, you know, I feel like if you put them on a witness stand, you couldn't be like, don't even act like you don't have a bias against this guy. Like you hate this guy.
You hate this person. Yeah. No, they are. Yeah. The refs are the ones that are the worst to me is like when you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And they literally completely disregard you.
Yeah.
Like I'm here and you're there. You're the ref. I'm speaking to you. And they will just completely.
Are you like, what's up with that hold? Right.
I'm like my jersey's wrapped around my neck. I'm like, ref, you don't see my jersey right now, bro. Like, what's going on? Can I get a call? Can I? Yeah. And he'll just not like literally not say a word.
So that that fuels you more.
Oh man, it makes you just want to, but you can't.
You can't.
Can't do anything.
I mean, you could.
And you,
but
I don't think you'd last much longer in the league. But you can't say, and you can't even really say what you want to say to them either because they can just throw an unsportsmanlike and
I heard, is it true, because look, going back to like the shit talking, which is really, it's part of my love of football.
Of
like,
any sport.
Yeah, of any sport, but something about football because it's violent and it's contact, that when you hear shit talking on top of that, like I've told this story before, but I had a bit of a delusion about like, you know, like when you're playing in high school, you're like, I want to play at the next level.
Yes.
And I don't want to play D3. I want to play on TV.
Yeah.
I remember I go with one of the guys there on a recruiting trip to Miami.
Ooh.
And I stand on the field and these guys come out. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking playing here. And then, but I hear these guys talking shit. And I was like, ear to ear. Smiling because they were saying the wildest shit that I've ever heard. And I'm standing on the sideline like, oh my God. But it was exciting. It was exciting to hear the type of shit talk. Like, are you a shit talker on the field?
It depends, you know?
So that means sometimes.
Sometimes, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. When, like, if there's an O-lineman, because I hate O-linemen, too.
Refs and O-linemen.
O-linemen, yeah. I mean, I think everybody generally hates refs.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody.
Yeah, and who loves refs?
I just love a good ref.
Yeah.
You know?
You know my favorite part of football is? The refs.
They're so amazing, just the way that they...
The way they know the rules.
Flags and stuff, yeah. Yeah,
but O lineman. Okay, so will you'll talk shit to an O lineman?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No. 100%.
Now these guys are like fucking buildings.
They're
like,
huge, bro.
They're
some
so
of these
big.
Guys are like nowadays, like Orlando Brown from the Ravens is like 6'8", like 360.
I've met him.
Oh, you met him?
He came to my show.
He's huge.
Zeus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zeus came to my show, man.
Yeah.
I was in Baltimore
monstrous
with Ryan Sickler. Shout out to Ryan who is from Baltimore, and Zeus came to our show, man. He's a massive human being.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like that's what I think about too, is like, even standing next to you, because you're a big dude, but like when you stand next to this guy, you're like, fuck, this guy is enormous, man.
I'm not a large football player. I'm not.
Do you get into like I had Tony Gonzalez here.
Yeah.
And we talked and he was like, yeah. And I was like, what did, he's like, the thing I heard the most was like, you ain't shit. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're a Hall of Famer. And he's like, yeah, they still are like, you ain't shit.
You ain't shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, do you have like, is there a go-to that you, you know what I mean? That you trash talk?
I just will call someone. I'm just like, you're fucking garbage. You know, that's my go-to. Like, or like, you know, like some of the, like on like special teams and stuff like that. Some of the guys, like they're just, you know, they don't play on defense. They're strictly special teams.
Yeah.
And like, if I really want to piss somebody off, I'll be like, get your ass back to the fucking sideline, you scrub, or some shit that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this guy's that just never plays, dude. You know, it just really hurts
it
their heart.
Their heart.
So then the next time that they come out, like they got a vendetta for you. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Dude.
And it fucking takes them out of their game completely.
That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I find it entertaining.
Oh, it's
but
amazing.
Like for people in the game, the most effective shit talkers is taking someone, getting in their head.
Yeah.
Like I remember from basketball, like there's so many well-known ones, but like Gary Payton was so famous, you know, the glove for like, it's like fucking with people's head.
Yeah, 100%.
Then all of a sudden you're talking to him like, talk about my wife.
Exactly. Yeah. There's those guys who, you know, like to talk about sisters and wives and moms and stuff.
There's
like that.
A famous story. I don't know if it's widely known. He was an Eagles coach. He had like a really, can you pull up Philadelphia Eagles past head coaches? Is it Rhodes? Was it Ray Rhodes? Was that his name? Just pull up Philadelphia Eagles head coaches. Cause this story,
this is a tough city.
Ray Rhodes. Google him. Pull Ray Rhodes Eagles. This dude, this story I heard from a football player and, Yep. To go to his images though. That this, because there's coaches of different personalities, like we're talking about.
Oh, 100%.
And Ray Rhodes apparently had a pretty, most of the time, a no nonsense approach, I guess, as a coach.
Okay, pretty strict guy.
And the story was, and if I'm getting this wrong, I'll just say this is an allegedly happened, okay? Just to protect myself and my company. So,
could not be true. It was just something I've heard.
It was allegedly that there was, just because like you can see that, like, that's, probably like the day he smiled, but like let's go to a different, like a more serious Ray Rhodes look, you know?
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Nope.
That's,
I think that guy,
serious.
That's pretty serious.
That's what you're looking for, I think.
So it's halftime and the team. Yeah, right there. That guy, you could tell that guy's not fucking around, you know? It's halftime and the Eagles are down.
Uh-huh.
And he's with the you know, giving the halftime speech or whatever.
Yes.
But he walks up there and he just, In front of people, is not talking. So like every, you know, people are moving, you know, helmets and everything.
Right.
And then people are just kind of like looking around, like what's, you know, he's not talking.
Yeah.
And he was just like staring.
Right.
And then he goes, they are raping your wives and your mothers and you're watching it fucking happen. And they were like, what? Yeah. And he's like, do you want your mothers to get raped? And they're like,
no.
You want to sit around and watch that shit? That's what I'm seeing. Get the fuck out there. And they're like, all right, win on three.
Yeah. Did they come back and win?
Yes.
They did? Yes, oh, okay, yes. Okay.
I think they were like, this guy's going to kill us if we don't win.
That's pretty motivational.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you heard wild speeches? Like, or is it all, it feels like the most exciting thing is a personality like that for a fan, because you're just used to cliche stuff.
You know what's really bad though?
What?
When you have a head coach that is just awful at speeches.
Yeah, I bet.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough. It's
like,
tough.
Doesn't know how to.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say, you know, I spent a little time with the Jaguars this last season and, I won't say what position this coach held, but it was a pretty
high
level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Way up there.
Yeah, way up there.
Uh-huh.
And he was god-awful.
Really?
Like, to the point where, like, you know, you make eye contact with your boys.
Yeah, and you're like...
And you're just like...
Was it just like missing the mark,
It was just a lot of cussing.
Oh, really?
It was a lot of cussing, and it was like the most plain, like just no, there's no depth behind. Like there's like, you know what though? This particular coach, mind you, one of the guys. I don't know. He was an offensive lineman, you know, back in the day.
Ah.
So I think that might have something to do with it.
So he would just curse a lot.
Yeah, he would just curse a lot. It just wasn't good, man. It just kind of like brought, like if you were hyped up and ready to go, like he might have brought your level down a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
It definitely sucks, especially when you go out there and there's no fans too.
Yeah.
So it's like double rough.
I'll say this, from one's living room, the NFL seemed almost no different. Because of the way you can shoot football.
Yeah.
So like you're watching it and they would pipe in that fake crowd.
Yeah,
and you forget
fake crowd
first
noise.
Week you're like, this is goofy, right?
Yeah.
But you forget. And then the way that it's covered, they wouldn't show it a lot.
They don't
show
it. So you'd
be like, oh yeah, there's no one there. Basketball was weirder to watch because there's no way to avoid
the empty stands.
Yeah. But it did make it like, so for football, I still ended up feeling, I felt like I was watching football games.
Right.
But for basketball, I felt like I was watching practice. I felt like I was watching guys practice. It was strange.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to have, to have audiences back again.
Oh, 100%. I think that's such the biggest part about like these games, man. I mean, especially for everybody involved, you know, people watching the games, the players, like everybody, they provide, like the fans provide such amazing energy. And it's like, you know, some guys probably struggled a lot this season because like they really get their energy from like running out on the field like that. Like the feeling of running out on the field and having people scream for you is
80,000 people.
Oh, dude, it gives me chills just thinking about it right now. Yeah, absolutely. But like when you run out there and you're like trying to get hyped for the game and there's like literally
like,
there's like nobody there. And you can hear the cheerleaders like, yeah. I don't even know if they were even out there half of the time, but there, you know, you just hear everything that's being said.
Let's go.
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was weird, bro. It was definitely.
That's a strange thing. My favorite all-time pregame speech is from a high school coach and it's on video.
Okay.
You can actually go to YouTube and it's from, type in Year of the Bull. And I used to reference this.
So this is your coach or is this just a
no.
coach?
So there's a documentary. There's a documentary called Year of the Bull,
okay.
Which follows, click that first one for a second for me and I'll tell you, hit that. That's the speech. So go to the beginning of that. So this is, there's a high school in, back it up. Go to him bench pressing, leave it there. Yeah. So there's a high school called Miami Northwestern.
Yeah, no.
In Liberty City.
So many good players came out of there my year.
Dude.
I remember there was like 10, like 11 kids that were like on the top 100. It was
crazy. It's wild. And it's like a factory because when this documentary came out, this came out in like 04, 05.
Okay.
It had already produced, think about this, for a high school, like one high school, 19 NFL players. And like
outrageous.
Countless.
Yeah.
Every year. So at the time, they're following this kid named Torian Charles, who ends up having like some trouble. You know, he goes to Florida and then he ends up playing some like arena league or stuff like that.
Okay.
But one of the coaches, they have multiple, like one of those, you know, the schools that have like, we have four head coaches and you're like, what? Pick a head coach.
Yeah, it's like,
man.
It's just like all, there's like three assistant head coaches and stuff.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
So Coach Ice. Yes. His name is Tim Harris. And his son played in the NFL.
Okay.
I think it's Tim Harris Jr. was a corner. Maybe. He might even still be in the league.
He could be, yeah.
I've showed this to so many people that played football. And they're like, this is the wildest. This might be like remind you of the high up coach we were talking about.
Okay.
But go ahead and throw your cans on.
Okay. All right. Cool. I'm excited right now. Here we go.
It's definitely colorful, you know? Hold on one second.
Colorful?
Yeah. Okay. Colorful. How's your volume? You all right?
Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay. All right. Picture yourself. You're about to go out in the tunnel.
Okay.
And instead of high school, this is Mike Tomlin.
Right.
And this is just your pregame ready to go out there speech.
Okay.
facing my house, disrespecting me. I got to do something about it. My family right there, bro. I got to protect my mama. My mama's sitting in the stands, man. Your parents sitting right there. They're in your house, man. Your mama in the fucking stands. They try to disrespect me in my house and grab a fucking remote control. That's exactly what they did. They come in your house, grab a fucking remote control, Derek Willis, and control your fucking TV. And your motherfucking house. Team Diddy, they came right in the house. Put on the same shit you got on. And say, fuck you.
There you go. Now let's hit the field. Come on.
Did you see him clap and the kid jumped back? Like,
they're terrified. Dude, they're terrified.
he grabbed your fucking remote.
Remote control. His motivation is that the other team came into your house, picked up your remote, is watching TV
in your house.
And then they put on the same shit you got on and said, fuck you. And then he's like, let's go win this game. I love it.
Those kids were so confused.
They were terrified. If you go to the beginning of this video, there, at that. Okay, that is halftime of the state championship game.
Right.
And all that coach does is hit them in the head say, why is the defense not working? And they're like, and they're all flinching. That's it. It's not like, let's go to zone. It's just like, why is this not working? That's all here.
Let me see.
Put that, let me see if I remember this. I haven't seen this in years, but I only saw it like 40 times.
Why is it not working? Why is it not working? Huh? Motherfucker, why is it not working? We ain't going out.
Come on, man. That's halftime. That is halftime of the state championship.
Yo, one of the kids is probably like, Coach, why the fuck you hate me? Shut up and just listen. Yo, what?
But you know, I played it for my buddy who played at Miami.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you think? He goes, you know what I didn't hear in any of this? And I go, what? He goes, football.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he didn't talk anything about football.
Why is the defense not working?
Why? You get fucking smacked in the head.
Yeah, that is yeah, and they were winning with those coaches.
Dude, like state championship
level
in the high and
coaching.
At the 6A, like the highest Florida, like they're playing mm-hmm. other high schools with 6,000
teams in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And fucking them up and their coaching is, why is this shit not working?
How many concussions do you think he got?
Oh my god.
Over his time, I mean, that's just one video. So you got to imagine how many times
they're used to that. He's, you know, like,
yeah, you're used to getting hit in the head, but it's still, you know.
And like, you know, like the way that like a hand with a ring or something on a helmet, you're like,
man. 100%.
Rings in there.
Yeah.
Or someone takes a whistle and like fucking smacks you in the head. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
You know what's the worst is right after you blast somebody, like you just, you know, you fucking hit the shit out of somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And you get up and you're hyped, and the first thing all your boys do is come smack the shit out of your head.
That sucks.
It is ridiculous, dude.
I think about that a lot of times.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like before it used to really fire me up, but like I've seen a couple of guys, like after they hit somebody and somebody will come up and get them a big old smack and they'll snap on them, bro.
Oh, like, yeah. Yo, like, that what are you doing?
Like, but you'll stop.
Yeah, my shit's already ringing.
My
right
shit's
now.
Ringing already. I don't need your help. Yeah.
There's been a couple, injuries from that. Like I remember watching this game a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Florida Gators playing somebody, and one of the dudes lit somebody up, like a free safety just lit, and he got up and was like, ah! Yeah. And somebody ran, one of his teammates ran full speed and just like lit him up and did something to his back, and he's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, bro.
He was out. He was out after that.
Oh, he came.
Yeah, yeah. He's
that's that
removed from the game.
100%. Yeah.
Only thing worse than that would be, what was that fucking guy? I think he was a quarterback for the Jets, and he scored a touchdown. He was like, yeah.
Oh,
and then he headbutted the wall, and he hurt his neck on his.
that is god awful. That is really
dude.
Bad.
Yeah, look what he googles: quarterback headbutt. Oh, that's it. You're right. You got it.
Yeah. Can we see the kid? Is there a video?
Yeah,
of it?
You got to find the video.
Is Gus, there a video of it?
Type his name in. Yeah,
yep, there it is. Oh, yeah, of course.
This ended with him injured.
Did he ever play again?
That's a good question.
Because if not, that would just be
he just
tragic.
Scored here.
why'd he do that? He just, oh my God. Yeah.
Right there. He was like, oh, my neck.
Yeah.
That was, I think that was at the Jets. So he was playing for the team from Washington. Excuse me.
Yeah. The Washington football team.
The Washington football. That's true. But
you think they'll ever like have a name? You think they'll come up with a mascot again?
Not with Dan Snyder as the owner.
No.
No. And I will say this. I was just in some mall like with sports memorabilia stuff. Okay. And I was like, yo, the hat and everything looks clean.
The W?
Yeah.
Like just the Washington?
The W. And like it says like just Washington. I was like, it looks like aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
It seems like, hey, there should be like some moniker. Like you should have like a mascot or something.
It's probably pretty tough to be like, let's go Washington.
Yeah, it also feels like he was like,
how about them Washington football
players? He was
players?
Like, well, fuck you. It feels like that.
Yeah.
That they were like, we're considering the fucking, yeah, I don't know what they were considering. There was a few names in the running.
I don't remember. He was probably Warriors.
Like, you know what?
Washington Warriors. Like that would have been, nobody's in the NFL as the Warriors. That
Warriors
makes
is
no
a good
sense.
Is a good name.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, you know, it probably, they were like, you know, everybody likes the Warriors. And he was like, you know what? They can't be the Redskins.
Yeah.
They're the fucking team from Washington.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. And they were like, okay, you own the team. So
you might be onto something. He could be. What's he looking up now?
Oh, this is probably the name. Oh, you're like Warriors.
Oh, wow, dude, he's
Red
on
Tails.
It.
The Red Tails kind of feels like
Red Tails? Wait, was that a legitimate option?
I think so. I think that was an option.
No. Oh no, it is the Washington Red Tails.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just rough. It's rough. That guy right there, Chase Young, he's impressive, dude.
Impressive.
And I've heard some really good stuff about him as just like a young guy,
yep.
You know, as a young like leader and stuff. He was a rookie captain, was just really impressive.
Super impressive. I remember seeing
look at this guy. He's a freaking freak.
Oh, dude. I remember seeing video of him like bringing guys up, you know, on the sideline,
yeah,
and you're like, he's a rookie.
Yeah,
like talking to the quarterback.
Oh
man,
yeah,
come on,
he's like their guy. Yeah, dude, we have this collection. So we've got this guy at the when we call them players, like all our guys who, you know, buy card or collectibles and stuff.
Yeah.
We call them players. He has over like the collection he's amassed is like over $100,000 worth of Chase Young rookie cards.
Like just Chase Young stuff,
and like the most fire, all of the like the rarest, the one of ones.
Dude.
The one of fives, one of tens, and he's like trying to complete like the one of tens. It's like, it's wild.
So tell me what you like. You started a business, which I gotta say, it's so unique. Cash Cards Unlimited,
yeah,
right. And I have the first time I heard about like I remember cards from being a kid,
yeah.
And like you know, like I told you, baseball cards were always the most prized and valuable.
Yeah.
But I didn't play or follow
like baseball. Yeah.
So. I was like, I like football, I like basketball. Those are the things I collected.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing something, Gary Vee, you know, like the entrepreneur guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like, I want to say like maybe a year and a half ago, maybe where he was like, I'm telling you,
it's
cards
coming.
Are coming back.
Yeah.
And he was buying them in bulk and like encouraging it.
Right.
Then I hear about you doing it.
Yeah.
And like that you're really into it. Like
absolutely.
Legit. It's not just like, oh, here's a business to do.
No,
you
no.
really, really are into it.
Yeah.
How did you get into it?
I've been into it for a long time, dude. Like, I was heavy, heavy into Pokemon as a kid.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm a bit, like, huge nerd, dude. All I watch is anime for the most part.
Seriously?
Oh, dude. Like, all day long. Like, if I'm turning on TV, my first reaction is to go to Crunchyroll. I'm not sure if you know what Crunchyroll is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Crunchyroll is like the anime. It's like Netflix for anime.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a streaming platform?
It's a streaming platform. Yeah. It's
okay.
Called Crunchyroll.
And you love these. You love anime.
I love anime. Yeah. Probably. I'd say 95% of what I watch is anime.
Wait. What does your lady think?
She watches it with me.
But she's like,
she's,
I'm tolerating
some of the stuff. No. Like there's like, okay. So I have to tolerate. She watches Korean dramas.
What?
Yes.
Wait, is she Korean?
She's half Korean.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just like, nah, that's just her lane, man.
No. She's half Korean, so Korean dramas are her thing, which are actually pretty good, honestly.
Korean cinema is incredible.
Really good. Just,
amazing.
And the Korean dramas are really good, too, honestly.
Have you seen...
Parasite?
No, Parasite was incredible.
Yeah, really good.
What is it? The Devil? You know what I'm talking about? Korean movie with the devil in the title.
I don't know. She's probably tried to get me to watch it, though. 100%.
Bro. I Saw the Devil? That's what it's called, I think. I saw the devil, right? Unbelievable.
No, I haven't seen it.
This one, this is fantastic.
Really good?
Really oh. good.
Is this really the... good.
Then there's another one.
Is this the one where they all are like infected and stuff like
no,
that?
Or no, no, that's a different... I know what you're talking about.
That one was really good too.
That's
though.
A very good movie. Yeah. And I have that written down somewhere because it was basically...
I'll have to tell Devin about it. She's always looking for her new Korean movie to watch. But yeah, so I'm super into
it's so good,
to all that stuff. Pokemon, I did Yu-Gi-Oh. I did Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh simultaneously. I was super on both of them.
Really?
Played all the games. Yeah, dude. And I still play the games to this day. Like I was they're dropping two new Pokemon games on them, and I'm pre-ordered. Pre-ordered, bro. There's no games playing. Like I'm, yeah.
Your son's gonna be so thrilled.
Yeah.
That like,
he's. What do you mean? I'm gonna be so thrilled. So yeah, I'm gonna have somebody like, to play games with and cards with and all that
he's
stuff,
be like,
dude.
Dad, I want to talk to you about Pokemon. You'd be like, yeah. Which one do you want, man? I got them all fucking here.
Everything. Yeah, 100%. He might. What if he's like not into it because it's just so readily available?
That's the thing about having like I have two kids and you like we always have the conversation where you go, like about comedy where we're like. Will they be funny?
Yeah.
Will they think you're funny? Like, probably not. They'll be like, God, you're so lame. You know, that's what kids do.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, they like the things I like. Because sometimes we'll go, like, all of a sudden I'll go, oh, like, my youngest, he's definitely going to line up with me on this.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? And then the other kid, you'll be like, yeah, he's definitely not. And then, you know, my wife will be like the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you go, like, you're an athlete, but you have, like, this obviously wide variety of interests. And, like, you know. Your kid could be like, sports are lame, you know? And you're like, oh,
he could be too because, you know, Devin's an artist.
Yeah.
And the kid loves to draw.
There you go. I mean, but then also,
loves music.
You know? Our kids are so young
that you never that know.
You never know. And then you think you know. You're like, there it is. He's an artist.
Yeah.
And then the next year, they'll be like, if there's one thing I hate, it's art. And you're like, okay. Like,
exactly.
They change like so dramatically.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying the ride, dude.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. He's a ton of fun.
Yeah. And if you, and then just you, at some point, you go, if you don't like football, you're not my son.
You know, what? You know? Honestly, though, no. that you would think. But I don't want him to play football. I'd rather him play like I'd rather him be a hooper, a golfer, soccer.
Well, now we know things,
exactly.
Like, and like I mean, and then you see what, like, honestly, like I told you I didn't follow baseball, but if my kid loved baseball, I'd be like, yeah, dude,
100%
I'll drive you to every game.
100%. And if you're like a freaky athlete in baseball too,
wild,
you're like very valuable.
My god, we were looking at these contracts the other day.
And they're fully guaranteed. Yeah, dude. That's the main difference, honestly, to me.
Yeah.
Is like the PAs for all of these organizations, like the NBA, like they're locked, bro. Like all these other leagues, like they're
I know
they get on the same page, they figure it out. But
and then you guys have the most like struggles. Violent, you know, like
you'd think we'd have like lifetime insurance, and we'd have
part. Like I understand if you have a 53-man roster and. The way that, you know,
money's got to spread out.
You
got to
spread it out. And like, I can understand a case made for like guaranteed, like in that business.
Yeah.
But not taking care of the guys that played is super upsetting.
The fact that they don't pay for the insurance is just crazy.
It's insane.
It's like they wouldn't even be in that situation.
You see these guys can't walk and, you know, like.
There's so many. Yeah. But I mean, the NFL is getting better about like, you know.
Well, the pressure is also growing on them.
Yeah. Because like a lot of these like older guys are dying super, super young.
It's scary.
It's
scary.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, back to your, like, to the cards. Like, what is the business that you run? Like, what can people do there? Buy, trade, sell?
Yeah, so, like I was saying, I'd like Pokemon Magic, or Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh, all that stuff. And then I found a game called Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the original trading card games.
Super popular, right?
Super popular, yeah. Worldwide, too, actually. Like, they have a pro league. They've got a Hall of Fame. Like, they have tournaments, like, all in a bunch of different countries and stuff. It's super sick, bro. But I got super into that, and... When I got drafted, I got back into it because obviously in college, I didn't have any money and I didn't have any time. So I got away from it, but I started getting back into it, investing in the cards, and Magic cards have been appreciating like at the same level or higher than gold for like 15 plus years.
Really?
Yeah.
Magic cards.
Magic cards. Yeah.
And are you into actual, like, Magic?
I play
well?
The game. I have like 30 built decks.
Do you go to the Magic Castle? Do you
have No. So Magic Castle.
No. Like.
No. Are you fucking? You're fucking with me.
No.
You're fucking with me.
No, it's Magic.
Magic.
Watch. It's gone.
It's gone. My paper is gone. Yeah. No, it's not.
No. Wait.
Fucking guy. Did you see what just happened there?
Okay, wait, explain to me again.
So it's a trading card game. It's Magic the Gathering. Okay?
No, but I thought you actually liked Magic.
No, it has nothing to do with like...
No, I understand that this is separate, but you don't like Magic?
I mean, no, it's not like it's not no.
Really?
The answer is no.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if somebody showed me, I'd probably be like, how'd you do that? What's the trick behind it? I'm like the... I want to know what you did.
I came in here today being like, if there's one thing I know, it's that Cash just loves Magic.
You were off, bro. Totally off, bro. Completely off.
I saw you post something once and I was like, oh, he loves Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not it. It's these trading cards, dude. Yeah.
So wait.
But the game is just super, super complicated.
This game is complicated.
It's very complicated. You have to be very intelligent to be like, you can be not intelligent and play the game, but like to be good at the game, you really, it's like chess on steroids. Like there's game theory.
And do people buy and sell and trade these?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like so a Mint 10, a PSA 10 graded Black Lotus sold for $1 million.
What? This is a trading card?
A trading card.
Well, abracadabra.
Look up a fucking guy, dude. Yo, his laugh legit makes me laugh harder at everything. Yeah.
Like 42,000 for a card?
Yeah, no, and those are the ones that are played, dude. Like, the ones that are played, like, that's the thing about Magic is, like, all these cards are super valuable and people still play with them. Like, there's people who are playing with, like, $250,000 decks. Like,
what?
Playing with cards. Like, they have a deck of cards, 60 cards, that are worth $250,000 and they're just fucking shuffling them and playing with them. Yeah, 100%.
And when you play, is it one-on-one or is it, like,
No, you can play one. Like, so you do one-on-one.
It's obviously always in person or is it virtual as well?
They do virtual as well, but, like, I don't really...
But in person is the way to do it.
Yeah, 100%.
And could I... Because I don't know anything about the game.
Yeah.
If we're playing, could I end up with your card? Like, does it work like
that?
There's a way to
steal somebody else's permanent. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And even like a high dollar card?
Like not that? Like take it like, or you mean like end up with it,
yeah,
like owning
yeah.
it?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I mean, you could play for keeps. Like, I've never played that, but that'd
Jesus.
Be pretty, that'd be pretty risky.
But
my decks are expensive.
There's a whole theory on how to play. Like,
it's really, really intricate and complicated. Yeah, it's a super... Super dope game.
Man. Wow. And then do you guys also do sports?
So we do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon.
Yeah.
Football, basketball, baseball, and we have soccer right now.
Yeah.
We actually just got approved to be one of the premier stores for Upper Deck too. So we'll start having hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Because Upper Deck, I mean, as a kid, it was Tops.
They were Tops, Upper Deck, and then Panini, but Upper Deck kind of... I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened, but they stopped
dude,
making a lot of...
you make me want to go look at the... I have old sports memorabilia stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Like, mostly cards and, like, you know. I have, you know, sometimes on certain manufacturers, you could take the packet, you could see through, like, on certain wrappers, I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I have one that's...
have sealed product.
I have some sealed... I mean, I don't have a huge collect, but...
Yeah, but you have
things,
some sealed stuff.
But it's in it is Michael Jordan... At UNC, like a Carolina card, you know? So you can see through the thing.
It's a really valuable card.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know you're rich and all. And
No.
You probably don't
it's at my life. Parents' house. I don't even have it at home.
I mean.
Okay.
I mean, if you get...
Can I ask you this about this? Because I always wonder this with... Like, there's certain things where when you go to purchase something,
yes.
You know... what it kind of what it should be, right? Like
right.
if I want to buy a car,
I you go, know like, the price tag on it.
Yeah, or like and like you can be like, well, maybe I, you know, they might be getting me for $1,000 or $2,000
right, but you know the range, yeah.
But then there's things where you go like, hey man, I'm at the mercy of this field, like wine or you know where I'm like, I don't know what this is, man.
Yeah.
So how does somebody know when they go like, I have a card that it's like, do they refer to like a... Like
typically, it's eBay sales.
eBay sales?
So right now, trading cards, make up a third of eBay sales right
a
now.
A third?
Yes. A third.
You're in the right business, man.
Dude, it is going insane. Like people there, because it's an alternative investment at this point.
So when you're done playing, you're going to be all in on this, right?
I actually might make more, not even might. If we just continue to make how we are now, I'll make more at the trading card shop than I do in the NFL this year.
I'm going to open a trading card shop.
Cash Cards Austin?
Cash Cards Austin, a.k.a. Now you see me, now you don't. Yeah.
Right back to the magic shit, dude.
I swear to God.
You know the guy who freaking bent the spoon? So he sued Pokemon because they made a card called Kadabra, and he basically got the card banned and because he sued him. So like this guy is widely hated in the Pokemon community.
How valuable is that card?
It was the one that was below the rare. So basically they just couldn't print the card anymore. It was super, yeah.
I remember this is like along the same lines. What was the other big game? The one that what's his name? The Carlton? What's the actor? I forget the name of the game. What's his name?
Dungeons and Dragons, are you saying anything? Or
I forget the name. What's his name? Alfonso?
Alfonso, yeah.
Ribeiro, right? And he sued one of these big, put his name sues. He sued one of the big, I forget the, what
like game? A trading card company or a game?
Yes, against Fortnite. That's who he did. He sued Fortnite.
Oh, because they did
yes.
Yeah.
And I believe they settled or he won. Or he drops it says. Oh, he dropped it.
Oh, they probably paid him.
I thought that I read that it had been a thing, but yeah, because he said that's basically my trademark move.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anybody out there who doesn't recognize that that's Carlton's move.
I mean,
then you're.
I saw that and I was like, I know that's your move, bro.
That's Carlton right there.
That's your move, dog. Yeah. It's like, I know that's his move. Like, I know you are a fucking magician. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, 100%.
So wait, does the business also deal with NFTs? Because this is a fucking explosion. Like, I didn't know what that was. I'd never even heard it, I feel like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And now you just can't stop running into it.
Yeah, NFT, it's crazy. It's crazy. So NFTs are basically trading cards and cryptocurrency combined into one thing.
And digital art as well.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So you're basically tying blockchain to digital art, like whether it be like a clip, a video clip, music, or you know, just an image like this beautiful image here.
So this beautiful image could be an NFT.
Absolutely. Okay. Overnight, actually within 4 hours, if you mess with owner, shout out to owner, you know what I'm
saying?
Sub owner.
Yeah. And then you like, cause one thing I read is that you can go auction on something or you can go limited production or you can go one of one and say I'm selling 100 of these.
Yeah.
These are the price. Or you can be like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I mean, it's just like trading cards, right? So like we were talking about earlier with like the limited edition Chase Youngs, right? Like there's a, you can go 10 of one certain art. You can do a different art that's one of one.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a base art that's like, there's 1,000 of them and you sell them at a different price.
Wow.
Or you can do the one of one art and you can just auction it. So there's a ton of ways to actually sell it. There's a bunch of different platforms, but yeah I mean, basically how it happened is I had a buddy, my guy Chuck, we went to college together. He went to UCLA. Actually, when I met him, dude, he was doing homework for rent.
Really?
Yeah. He was doing homework for rent. And now the guy has like stake in like over like 12 companies. He's into venture capital. He's
big, true
big time guy. Yeah. Shout outs to Chuck Figueroa. He's a great guy. But anyways, he introduced me to my guy Kenneth, the CEO of Owner. And was just like, this guy is tied in into the trading cards and into this market, because the two markets are basically tied together.
Sure.
Because I mean, NFTs are trading cards but digital.
Yeah.
And he made me a co-founder, and the thing has just kind of took off from there. But
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. NFTs they're incredible, man. I mean, they're digital art, but they're secure, and I think that's the.
And can I ask you this? Because I've been like slowly, you know, like learning about it. Mm-hmm. And I had two people already give me presentations. I still
don't get it really. Yeah.
I mean, if I buy this NFT of you playing,
yeah.
Right? Like a still shot or whatever.
Right.
It's in a digital wallet. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then I can pull up what on my phone, on my computer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I display it? Like, that's on
they
a digital...
actually, so there's actually a company that we're, that owner's working with to be able to, like, you know, those capsules
mm-hmm.
that basically, like, there's an image that, like, appears and it, like, spins.
Like a hologram style
Yeah, like
thing?
A hologram yeah. capsule. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be one of the ways to display your
But
NFT.
The cool thing is that it also, you don't have to, it can't get destroyed.
It can never, right? There's no way to replicate it, to hack into it, to destroy it. It's
How is it
secure.
Not, hackable? What,
just it's the blockchain technology. That's okay. like literally what blockchain it encrypts is. So it all started with like security, right? So they created this thing called blockchain for like security for, you know, these big businesses and,
sure.
and tech and all that stuff. And then they tied it to a currency, and that's how you got cryptocurrencies. So that's what makes all of these, that's what makes like Bitcoin so valuable because you can't, like, there's no counterfeit. There's no way to, you know.
You can't steal it.
Like, can't steal it, exactly. So it's completely protected. And so they basically are tying these now to art. And, you know, these art pieces are you can't copy them, can't do anything to them. So the security behind them is like,
I'm going to get into NFTs, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in.
So let me know, bro. I'll put you on, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you a shout right after this.
We'll do a magic NFT.
Dude.
Abracadabra.
Dude, I could do it. The top hat and a little wand. And I'm like,
and pull a bunny out of the hat.
Pull a bunny out of the hat.
Or maybe you pull
a bunny out of his stomach.
Yes. Out of his belly button. Like it looks like a little ball of lint, but no, it's
a
bunny.
A belly button. I remember when I was in recovery, like after I got injured, that a nurse would come and like bathe me.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. But then every time you're like, all right. And all of a sudden she'd go, oh, what's in here today? And I was like, what? And she'd be pulling lint out of my belly button.
Oh, that's gross.
And every time I'd be like, God damn
it. Yo, that like, is gross, man.
Yeah, but also like, it's embarrassing. You're like, come on, man. Like, I just wanted to remember one time to clean out my belly button.
Oh, God.
And I didn't. That not once.
Rough,
every
dude.
Day she's like, what's in here today?
Every day?
I mean, you know, fucking for a week, I guess.
So you just didn't learn your life. Like it
so
happened.
She'd clean it out and I'd be like, God damn it. That's like, I'm like,
how are you getting so much lint in your belly button?
I don't
like,
know.
How deep is your belly button?
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show it to you.
Okay. Off camera.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
I guess not porn, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I don't know, I guess, I mean, I'm just laying there all day.
Yeah.
And I have, yeah, some type of gown or
it's probably on. the you know, the cheap like bedroom like hospital materials. It's,
yes.
Yeah.
What's in here today? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just a little leftover pee from.
Yep. And then, you know,
just scoop it out.
Oh, because like when you find your belly button lint, it's never.
You know, I've got like a like an innie, but it's out. You know,
so an innie that's out.
Yeah, it's like an in out. You know what I mean?
So but you don't
like
get it.
It goes in, but I don't. Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
Hmm. You know, this is pretty deep.
Pretty deep in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it's penetratable.
It looks like it was made to hold lint. You know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Or a little 20 sack or something like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Stuff a little.
Wait, I want to ask you this. Back to football.
Yeah.
What? Because I love college ball.
Yeah.
What was your recruiting and choosing school process like?
Oh, it was nuts.
It was?
Yeah, it was sick.
So senior year, you're getting offered.
Yeah, I got offered by every team in the Pac-12. LSU, Oklahoma.
Where'd you take your visits?
I took my visits to LSU, Arizona State, UCLA, and then Cal Berkeley.
Okay.
I was supposed to take a trip to Oklahoma, but it was right after my UCLA trip, and I had like, I committed to like 5 schools, bro.
You did?
I was terrible. So like back in the day, you didn't do this type of stuff. Like if you commit to a team, you for the most part, you stayed with that team back in the day. But I must have just been like the trendsetter for just like saying fuck
jumping
you to
around.
Any school. So I committed to SC like
you did
early on. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, early on. And then, but it was silent. I was like, yeah, like I told the coach, I was like, yeah, I'm coming here. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And then, I ended up committed to Cal Berkeley.
Wow.
I was committed there for a long time. And then I took my trip to LSU. Mind you, probably one of the best times I ever had.
Okay.
In my life.
I want to,
and they
this.
Lost the game that week.
Who'd they play? You remember?
They played Florida. It was like number two team in this country versus
because
number four team in the
there's
country.
There's certain, like, if you're a college fan, there's certain programs where even if you're not like regionally there or something, you go like, ooh, like that's an exciting.
Right.
And like, as long as I can remember, LSU Like, you know what I mean? As a brand, you're like, LSU football is the shit.
Big
like,
time, yeah.
Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, go Tigers. Yeah.
And like at the night, they're famous for the night games. Yes. And like, and you just like.
Loudest stadium I've ever
loud,
been into.
It's the crazy. Unis. Every, and, they, and they're ballers. I mean, you
fire,
know.
Fire, yeah, absolutely.
So wait, you go there, you're in Baton Rouge. Yes. And
mind you, my team, my mom's, the whole my whole side of the, my mom's side of the family on my grandfather's side is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow.
We're all Creole.
Okay.
So my whole family lives like 15 minutes from the campus. So they're stoked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're like, your
cousin gonna... from California is coming home to go to LSU, the whole deal. So we go out there, you know, I'm seeing my family for the first time in a long time, having a good time, eating good food. Have you ever had gator nuggets?
I've had gator meat. Yeah. Oh, from in Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
It's super good.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Fried was, gator and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Really man. Tasty. Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, dude, we go out. I'm seeing every different shade of lady. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It was. And there's something about those SEC girls.
And there was like there was girl like light skinned girls with like green eyes and just like all kind of crazy stuff. And I'm like, yo, I'm about to go crazy.
Yeah,
bro. This is ridiculous.
Your name Cassius?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool
and
name.
They yeah.
I don't know nobody named Cassius. Do you like magic? And you're like, yeah.
And I'm like, hell yeah, I like magic. Want me to like, show you
I'll
magic?
I'll show you some magic trick right now.
Yeah, yeah.
In out. Yeah.
Watch what happens on this downstroke.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My sister went to Ole Miss, and I.
Oh, dude. Oh, I've heard legendary things about Ole Miss. So you went? You visited her there?
And I went out with one of her friends. I was like,
I've heard crazy.
I was like, howdy toddy.
We liked the party.
Yeah, they were a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, SEC
so
schools
you,
are good.
You get like the, I mean, they roll out the red carpet, right?
Yeah, like, everybody knows, like the fans know your name. The fans know, you know, who's on the recruiting trip. I've got like, I had two, I mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I haven't told this story before, but so this is like an exclusive. So I get back to my hotel. Mind you, I had a great time. Went out to the bars, like met a bunch of girls. I had just came back from hanging out with a female, and I get to my hotel room, and like I'm opening up the door, and the door across from me opens hella fast, and I'm like, because you know it seems like rushed,
yeah,
it's like kind of freaking me out. I turn around, and it's a blonde and a brunette that are just phenomenal, and they go, "Are you Cassius Marsh?"
No,
and I'm just like, "Yeah, that's me." I'm not telling you the rest.
And they're like, we're part of the math program here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yo,
Do you want to study with us? Yeah.
And then you guys studied all night.
We studied all night.
That's rad.
Yeah.
And then, now let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How do you have an experience like that and not want to study there all the time? You know what I mean?
It was rough, dude.
Did you commit?
Like, I did. I committed so to like, LSU.
Yes.
I was gung-ho
go
for UCLA
Tigers.
At that point, dude. I was LSU, dude. I was gung-ho for LSU. I was like, went back to school. I was like, dude, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, the whole deal, I wore the LSU. Like, I had custom hoodies made and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like.
You're like, the South does it right.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happened is I took my UCLA trip.
Yeah.
And I had an equally good time.
Really?
Yeah, I had an equally good time. And then we had a bunch of dudes who were on that same trip that were like big time recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were like,
let's all
let's make
here.
UCLA dope again.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much
so
it.
So basically, and that was that your final?
That was my final trip. Yeah.
See, so
my,
getting, see, being last on that thing also is important, I think, right?
If
you're the school.
Yeah. That's why I didn't take that trip to Oklahoma. Because I was like, just based on what I'm doing so far, I'll be committed to Oklahoma.
Sure. Oh, right.
And I'll be Leo.
Was it appealing too that you're a California kid and you're going there? Like, was that?
For the LSU girls, are you saying?
No, for UCLA. Like, you're not going so far, right?
Yeah, not leaving home and stuff for sure was a thing. Yeah. Just staying close to home.
Man,
yeah,
LSU would have been some fun, bro.
I know. I almost transferred there, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because we were.
You
really
would have six kids right now if you went to LSU.
Yeah, I honestly really believe that too. Like, yeah, it's probably wouldn't have been good, but, yeah, our first 2 years at UCLA were bad. So,
really,
I thought about getting up out of there, but you know, I wanted to be 3 and done. I was like 3 and out for sure.
Yeah,
I ended up doing 4 years, but that was the mindset.
Yeah, man.
No extra time in college.
Yeah, I mean, I always imagined that the like what the recruiting trips have to be.
They're
and,
fun.
And especially like the further, like with time, the stories just seem to get wilder.
I can't imagine what they were actually like now, because the hype level is so much bigger. And like on with these big time recruits, like you know who they are pretty like early on and stuff. And like, you know, everybody's just so much more accessible with social media and stuff like that.
The older you get, you get more impressed that somebody can stay level headed. Yeah. You know, and like last year when I went to, I was on a tour. No, it was 2019. Sorry. And we were coming up on Lincoln and Nebraska.
Yeah.
And they reached out and they go, would you want like a tour of the football office? And I was like, fuck yes.
Yes.
So when I got there, I was like, give me a tour you would give to like a recruit. Yeah. Like, I want to see what this, and like, it's so impressive. Like the facilities and everything they show you. I'm like, I'm trying to put my brain into like 18-year-old me. I'm like, I don't know how I would ever manage this. Like this is, it's like overwhelming.
It is too. And like everybody along the way is just like, you know, topping you off big time for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like you're the shit. And
you're just the greatest thing that you're going to be the best to ever come to this college and your first team, you know, just everything.
And then
they just sell you the dream.
When you actually get there, they're like, ah, that shit's over, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, like one of the main recruiting points at UCLA, this guy, Rick Neuheisel. Rick Neuheisel was the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the main selling point, he was like, yeah, you know, guys, we've been Adidas for all these years. We're going Nike, because nobody liked Adidas back then. Like their cleats were really, really bad, actually.
Yeah.
We had like 15 foot injuries.
Really?
While I was at UCLA.
And he told you like this what
because
we're
of Adidas cleats. He was like, yeah, we're going Nike, like 100%. He told like all of our recruiting class we're going Nike. The day after signing day, signed the biggest contract in college history with Adidas.
And you're like, coach,
we were pissed, bro.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do? Everybody had signed their letter.
Did you guys bring it up? Did you guys tell him?
What are you going to say to him?
Hey, coach, what the fuck?
Yeah,
man?
He was clearly full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what I mean. You're recruiting. It's like,
Recruiting is a bullshit art. It's a 100%. Total bullshit art.
I mean, I think, you know,
kind of, right?
I think there's got to be some truth behind some of it. But that one,
I remember hearing these stories about, because especially like these like Southern guys, you know, that like Bobby Bowden would go to the, like if he made a house visit, they're like he was the closer, you know, because he's like Southern guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd come in your house and. You know, the lady would be like, well, I made a pie. He'd be like, I love a piece of pie.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, would you mind if I had another piece?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like endearing to the mom.
Exactly.
And then you're
that's big time. You got to get the mom.
Get the mom on board.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I imagine the craziest thing is, how would you go on campus at Alabama and not say yes? Because that, I mean, with Saban, with what they're doing, this type of dynasty, it's fucking ridiculous, man. Like, it's so crazy that they're basically just like a five-star factory, and there's five-star guys riding the bench for three seasons.
I think that if you are a young, like, top-tier player, and you choose not to go to Alabama, you're losing out.
Like, you kind of are.
You're like throwing money in the toilet, because they've got guys who were like backups that are getting drafted like third and fourth round.
It's insane. It's insane.
They're like,
right now, them, Clemson, and LSU, Ohio State.
LSU.
Yeah, and LSU.
Yeah.
But
Ohio State for sure, yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, when you watch the game, especially you get to like bowl season, you're like, oh, these guys are playing teams that are on a tier below. Like, they're just absolutely wiping people off the mat, man.
It's making college football pretty uninteresting.
It kind of is to a degree. Like, I respect so much what they've built.
Yeah.
But when you see like the end of a season Alabama win-loss thing, and you're like, yo, they're beating people by like 60 every week.
And they're taking the kids out at like halftime too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some rest, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty. It's,
something tells me you don't have to go to all your classes if you start Alabama.
Let me tell you, if you've ever met a couple of these Alabama football players, I can tell you that they were not doing so well in classrooms. Yeah.
My cousin went to UNLV. Okay. This is in the late 80s, early 90s. That's when UNLV won
a lot of football
national championship. No, basketball. We're talking basketball. Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson.
Yeah,
like these guys fucked people up, right?
100%.
They were such badasses.
Yeah.
And he goes, I had a class with Stacey Augman, who was, you know, like a premier starter, like won a national championship.
Yeah.
There. And I go, oh, you know, I'm like a kid. I'm like, what? What's it like? He goes, well, I saw him on one day and then I never saw him again.
First day of class.
Yeah. He's like, I never saw him in class again. Yeah. And, you know, that was just, you're a star at a school like that. Is he a coach now? Oh, yeah. Looks like he is.
Wow.
Yeah.
How time changes things, huh?
Yeah. Now he's like, you fucking should be in class.
Yo, he's got the, he's got the remote in your house. And your mom is sitting on the couch.
he's recording shows you don't even want to watch.
Can we turn his laugh into an NFT?
Absolutely.
Because like that laugh is
let me tell you something. Top tier. Without even asking him, he's on board. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, that laugh is top tier.
Yeah, it's a great laugh.
It's killing me right now.
It's a great laugh. Yeah, it's like the polar opposite of his Google search skills. Yeah. Great? Not great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. I'm kind of bummed that, you know, his hair is not all crazy like it was.
Dude, I know it was. He wanted to fucking impress you, but...
Not impressed.
Not impressed.
No.
Wish you could do some magic and make it grow back.
I'll look into that, bro.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for coming here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck with the upcoming season. I mean, I think it's brilliant that you have the Cash Cards Unlimited. That, like, this business is going to just grow and grow and grow for you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. And I really appreciate it.
I will end with what I started with. Thank you for buying my house.
And I will say the same. Thank you for selling me that house, sir.
I'm actually very happy that... It is this thing where you go, you know, it's
you love that house. You love that. You're passing it on to...
You want it to go to somebody that's going to...
Care for it.
Yeah, and appreciate it. And like, I mean, we have great memories there. You know, my second son was born like born, when we lived there. And like, yeah. I have a lot of great memories of like, you know, like I can think about that house and picture different rooms and just things that were done there. So very cool. I'm so happy that I met you and that we got to do this, man.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah. Stoked to finally meet you.
Cassius Marsh, don't forget to follow him on Instagram, which is it at Cassius Marsh?
Yeah, just Cassius Marsh.
Cassius Marsh. And then, of course, Cash Cards Unlimited. Check it out. Get into it, man. Fucking NFTs, fucking bunnies out of hats. He does it all.
Yeah.
All right.
Trading cards, magic, NFTs.
NFTs. There you go. Yeah, all right. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.